Hey, so Eric, have you heard that Tallahassee is under a hurricane watch now?
Yes.
I've been hearing a lot of things about these storms out in the Atlantic, but
Yeah.
I guess we're not the hurricane warning stage yet, but we've got a hurricane watch going on.
Well, I don't even think we can consider it a watch yet because,
Maybe not. Maybe okay.
I
Your
don't think
watch is
they're.
like 3 days out,
Yeah.
then a warning comes like within 24 or 48 hours. So,
Right.
okay. Well, maybe I'm just kind of,
Invest.
yeah, it's we're at the invest level.
Right.
Okay, 6 days out, 5 days out. So,
Yeah, with a 80% chance of
an 80%, yeah,
80% chance of actually seeing something actually hit Tallahassee.
to an actual storm. Now, you know what
No,
we're
no,
hoping.
no, no, no,
Oh,
no.
no,
Just the
okay.
weather occurrence.
It's just the weather currents. Okay. Anyway. So that means that we're in another episode of Tally Benchwarmers here. It's the Eric and David show. How's it going, bud?
I'm good. How you doing?
You know, we're hanging in there. We're hanging in there. It was a, I could say that it was a Friday night to remember and a Friday night to forget in Charlottesville last Friday night, right?
I can agree with that. Some of the
Man.
things I would like to forget is the officiating.
The officiating was suspect at times
Yes.
for on both
I
sides.
agree.
On both
I
sides.
agree.
The officiating, the tackling, at least for the FSU defense, was suspect at times.
Yeah, quite a bit.
And you know, FSU had those two first quarter turnovers that really set the tone of a get for the game that was hard for them to get. It took them until midway through the second quarter to kind of get a what felt like a funk, right?
Yeah, to get in gear, yeah.
Yeah, and it took two turnovers through two interceptions
Absolutely.
for that to happen, thankfully. But you know, and I've heard by the way, we're talking about FSU versus UVA, a big upset. A
Friday
big
night.
upset Friday night in
Yeah.
Charlottesville. The Noles were what, 7-point favorite, 6.5, 7-point favorite.
7-point favorites, yes.
And it in that really in that first quarter, it didn't feel like they came out with as much intensity as they would have needed to, but maybe I'm just because we seem to keep missing
First road
tackling.
game.
Yeah.
It was the first hostile environment that we
Yeah,
faced.
it was pretty hostile.
And those fans came ready, so I give them credit.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Their 12th man showed up.
Yeah.
So,
And their 12th man was literally on the field.
yes.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive, at least as
Yeah.
if you look at it. If you're looking at it objectively. Now, I had a hard time looking at FSU games objectively, but yeah. And there were comments by the announcers, and I've heard even a comment from Will Merricks here in our a very emotional comment from Will Merricks here in our lobby
Yes.
before coming over here to record this. And we're recording this at Monday afternoon at about 1 o'clock or so.
Yes.
He felt that Tony White scheme on defense was just full of holes. Couldn't was wasn't
I'll agree with that.
and he also felt that Norvell made some what I'm kind of taking some of the passion out of what he said, but he felt Norvell, and I'll use the term bonehead. He made some bonehead calls. One of them being that he didn't go ahead and just try for the win. Instead of going in the overtime, to go for a 2-point
I
conversion
agree.
at
I agree with
okay,
that. I agree with that. Now, to get back to Tony White's
yeah,
defense,
okay.
my angst with that was he didn't release the dogs.
Didn't release the
And
dogs.
what I'm saying is that those receivers running across the middle on those short routes that they ran all game long that were wide open,
Yes, yeah.
they weren't getting touched.
Yeah.
So if you release the dogs and let them get hit a couple of times, then the crocodile arms come out.
Right.
So I think they need to go back to the what they that's what they did in the Alabama game.
Okay.
Those receivers were getting touched coming across the middle, and
And when you say touched, it's not just like you and me.
No, touching. I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You lay the lumber to them.
You make them aware that there's somebody there.
Always.
Yeah.
And then their head is actually turning before they actually catch the balls, and there's more drops.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things. I believe that if he would have went more man on the outside instead of worrying about those guys getting over the top of our DBs,
mm-hmm.
we would have had more people in the box to kind of plug up the running that they were doing on us.
Yeah, even though, they seemed like they were – I mean, we outgained them
right.
by more than 100 yards.
Yeah.
So, but they held the ball for like 5 or 6 minutes more than us
mm-hmm.
on those sustained drives.
Yes.
So, it's not like they were they did break away at least once, I remember on
right.
on the score right before halftime
yeah.
to get to tie it at 21. But they were just methodical.
Right.
And those short passes across the middle. I don't know how many crossing passes.
That's why.
Couldn't get off the field after third down.
You have 5 yards to abuse the receiver before, they throw a flag.
Right.
Now, you can't do nothing egregious. But as a defensive coordinator, some penalties are acceptable.
Yeah.
Because they send a tone early in the game. And you go ahead and thump them a couple of times, and those guys start getting back in their huddle saying, hey, these guys come to play.
Yeah. But how about – I'm changing the subject for just a second, but talking about defenders but how about that Mekhi Dansey pass interference call in the first quarter?
That
was like me saying, hey, Eric, how's it going, bud?
That was terrible.
That was a terrible call.
Well, yeah. And I know I might get myself in a little hot water.
And it was Dansey, right?
No, it was actually Deuce.
It was Deuce?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Deuce. It was Deuce. Yeah.
And the thing is, Deuce stuck his arms out.
Yeah.
But he didn't even touch the guy.
The guy wasn't there. Yeah, he just put his arms out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I might say this, and I might get myself in a little
you won't.
Hot water, but, we did sue the ACC this year.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Okay.
Us and Clemson, we both sued the ACC.
Yeah.
And you see how, if the game is close,
uh-huh.
then we may not get those calls. And
first quarter, before things become a little more competitive, I guess, at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, speaking of Deuce, he had a monster game. Yeah,
they robbed him of his second touchdown.
But for that one touchdown,
they robbed him for his second touchdown.
It was damn close.
Yeah.
That was I've never seen them. I love, by the way, the reviews and what you're listening behind the scenes, looking under the hood of how they come to those decisions.
That was excellent. I think ESPN, the ACC, gave them they got bonus points for that.
Yeah. But yeah, I do. It's depending on now as a homer for FSU, Deuce caught the ball.
He had
control. There were both of his feet down. Now he may have had control only for just a little bit. But
that's all it takes.
That's all it should take.
You break
right?
the plane.
Yeah.
And if the ball comes out after you break the plane, it's still a touchdown.
Yeah, I agree.
Control is control.
So, yeah, that but. But other than that, called the ball 147 yards, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Dansey was quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They keyed in on Dansey. They made sure that he was doubled.
Yeah.
He was doubled.
Yeah.
Deuce wasn't, but Dansey was doubled because they didn't want a track meet to break out.
Right.
They didn't want a track meet to break out. So.
They knew that who would win if they got into a foot race.
Yeah. Now, offensively, I think Gus should have used our speed, more sweeps.
Yeah.
Getting us on the edge where mm-hmm. now our talent, speed-wise, actually, overpowers them. Running the ball, we were excellent. One fumble, that was an excellent defensive play. I can't even be mad at that.
The ball comes out on occasion.
Yes.
It was bad timing.
Right.
If any fumble, I guess, is bad timing.
Yes.
But it just was so early in the game, and it gave Virginia confidence.
Right, it did.
It gave him a lot of confidence. And what was having confidence was going into the game, and you hear the who is questionable or not going to be in the game, and they've got several of their starting offensive linemen out, and you know, if I'm a defender, I'm thinking, you know, maybe it's not going to be as tough a game as I thought it could be.
They came to play. Next man up was the definite mentality there in that game.
I agree. But you know, give it to their QB.
He's a gamer.
He probably ran, scrambled. Not going to worry about the arm, but ran and scrambled better than maybe our defense had anticipated.
Should have put a spy on him.
And I guess that's what folks could say. Well, why didn't Tony White put a spy on him in the second half?
Right.
You
got to be able to adjust to, you know, game day situations because, you know, if it wasn't for his scrambling, a lot of their drives would have stalled.
Right.
You know, you know, if you just look at the stats aren't that lopsided. You know, time of possession, we had it 28 minutes and 3 seconds. They had it 31 minutes and 57 seconds.
Oh, see, I thought it was wider than that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Total yards, 514 for us, 440 for them. Rushing yards, 258 for us, 229 for them.
Yeah.
Passing yards, 256 for us, 211 for them.
Yeah, you see stats like that, and you say, hey, maybe that game is, if you're not paying attention to the score and you're just looking at stats, that would have been a great overtime game, huh?
Yeah. And first downs, we had 24, they had 27.
Yeah.
5 penalties for us, 4 penalties against them. Both teams had 3 turnovers.
Yeah. Our last turnover was the pass that you know, in the end zone there in the second overtime that got picked off.
Both teams allowed 2 sacks.
Yeah.
And they had 84 total plays. We had 81.
Wow.
So that was that you can expect that from the number one and number two offenses.
That's right.
In college football. Us being number one, them being number two.
Yeah. I didn't realize they were number two.
It lived up to the hype. Mm-hmm. You know, it produced. So rough environment. First time being away from the comfort confines of Doak.
Mm-hmm.
So we performed well.
We played just almost good enough to win the game.
I agree. We didn't play FSU football.
Not totally, no.
Yeah, especially on defense.
Yeah. At one point, when I saw Tommy take the slide, what felt like maybe a couple of yards too early, I thought to myself, listen, the coaches talk to him.
Get down. Yes.
Because in the first 3 games, you saw Tommy running to the end. I mean, he was getting hit. So you know, I don't know. Do you know of any injuries that possibly nicks that would have come out of the game?
No, there were no nicks. I mean, as far as the game being played, it was clean.
Yeah, Gunnar Hansen, I know, was down for a little bit, but then he came back in the game.
Right. Yeah.
So, offensive line problems with injuries have plagued us
the past couple of years.
Yeah. So far, so good.
Yes.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about that invest warning here in a little bit.
But yes.
Oh, it was a disappointing. You know, you can't be. You said Virginia came to play, and they did. They had the environment for the fans to be to play a factor, and they did.
Yes,
and they did. I think Castellanos in a post-game comment just said, you know, we kind of needed this maybe now. That's hard to accept as a fan, but if it puts the fire in the belly of every player on the FSU team,
that
specifically for this Saturday, then, you know, a win over UM this Saturday, and we'll talk about it later, but that would be you can almost accept much more. You can accept it much more easily. A loss in game 4 against an ACC opponent, but you know, there's a lot of football still to play.
Yes, there is a lot of football to play, and I was impressed with the team. Hostile environment. We don't do very well on Friday night games. For some reason, Friday night games, FSU has a propensity of playing down.
I'm trying to think, when was the last? I remember a Boston College game a few years ago on Friday night. But did we play like NC State on a Friday night?
We played at Carter Finley, and we lost that game.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah.
We had to have a miraculous comeback with Dalvin Cook when we went to Louisville, and we were down 21 points.
Oh, okay.
And he scored 21 points by himself.
Well, that's Dalvin.
Yes,
that's
it
Dalvin
is.
For you. Yeah.
So,
you know, we had a game in Charlottesville on Friday. Then on Saturday, we had the team from Alabama A&M enter the confines here of Tallahassee and played our FAMU Rattlers.
Yes.
And the game did not come out, I'm not sure if there's anything positive that would have come out of the game for FAMU, but we lost pretty big, right?
42-14.
Ooh.
Yeah. We got thumped.
Yeah, that's tough.
We got thumped, you know.
So what's going on? Are we 1-3 now?
Yes.
We are not too far removed. Well, same thing for FSU, not too far removed from that magical season
right.
of 2024, right? It was 2024? Yeah. No, excuse me, 2023. 2024 was last year. So
yeah, 2023. Yeah.
It was the same year that we won the ACC championship.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, the city of Tallahassee.
We don't know how to lose.
It's rough. It's tough. No matter which college team is losing, it's tough. Yeah. So, are there questions about Culzie, about Coach Culzie and his ability to bring FAMU to a championship level?
Yeah, you know, it's in the industry that, you know, college football is.
Yeah.
Wins. That's all that matters is wins.
Yeah.
They don't care how you win.
Yeah.
As long as you win. And mm-hmm. when you're not producing those W's, you get on the hot seat real fast.
Yeah.
You know, boosters, fans, you know, it doesn't help when you have the media, you know, nitpicking every little thing because now, as we know, not just the Power Four and the Group of Five, but all college sports are on TV.
Yeah.
So when it comes
you
to
know, you can see just about anything you want to now,
and
just like you're less of this than I am, but you know I'm a couch quarterback or whatever,
a Monday morning quarterback.
Yeah. So. You've got all that, and social media is the way just to kind of
it's the antagonist for you know sports now because mm-hmm. you know fans have much more access to players because of social media.
Yeah.
So it not only that, then you know you have each team has their own web page and social media presence.
Right.
So fans get to express their excitement or displeasure. In real time.
Yeah. Well, you know, excitement, let's go back to the storming of the field in Charlottesville. That's real time immediate showing their pleasure.
Absolutely.
Right?
And I can understand, you know, when we did it against Alabama, we got fined for it.
Uh-huh.
Virginia will get fined for it also. And it's more so a player safety thing.
Exactly.
And
I think that's what folks were concerned about.
And that's like we discussed it before, you know, if you want to mitigate that, start finding the fans for running onto the field. But at the same time, you have enough security to ensure that the other team gets off the field safely first before the fan storm. So,
unless in this case it looked like the fans
they had free stage there storming
the field. They had, and it looked like they were just right there on the field, and it was like an army.
Yes.
They were ready to. So, you know, I asked somebody or made a comment about that. And I'm sorry, we were talking FAMU, but I think this is important talking about the safety of the players or whatever. What if the ref had called pass interference on the defense on that play, they would have had to. It would have been 45-minute delay just to get the field cleared.
Yes,
and so
that's more like the what was that old game? Cal versus what was that game? I can't remember where they did all the laterals and the band was on the field.
The band was on the field. Yeah.
Oh, I can't
exactly.
Remember.
I know which one you're talking about. It ran over the band.
Yes.
Players ran over the band
and members. Scored a touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Showing a little bit of our longevity.
That's good. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. Not that I'm noticing the gray in your beard or anything.
Ah.
Yeah. And not that you're noticing, well, what little hair is left of it being gray on my head. So, yeah. But let's hope that FAMU has a win sometime, a home win sometime this season.
Well, they had won their first home game.
I'm just talking about that will allow for the fans, you know, to rush the field.
I don't know.
Not too sure about that.
I don't know.
So we are 1-3. Homecoming should probably be happening fairly soon.
I forget, but
are they traveling this coming week?
This coming week, they're in Mississippi Valley. They go to Mississippi Valley.
Yeah.
And then they have NC Central here on the 11th.
I should have prepared myself for when FAMU's homecoming is.
And they have Alcorn State on the 18th. And
that sounds like that could be ripe for the homecoming crowd. Yeah,
I believe so. So we shall see.
Yeah. We shall see. Let's talk a little bit about what happened on Saturday. There were. It's almost like there's parity in college football.
Maybe all the way
this
around.
Maybe this is what the portal was meant to do.
I agree. It takes the haves and spreads the wealth to the other teams because. Mm-hmm. You have players that want to play instantly, and they know that they can come out and, you know, I don't have to stay here and sit behind four other people. There's other programs that'll pick me up, and I can play right now.
Right. Yeah.
So
you know, there were. I guess really the big game of the week was the Penn State Oregon game, though.
I mean, Alabama-Georgia.
Well, I'm talking about because it was 2-4.
Right.
So that was at the top of the rankings.
Yeah.
And that's the game that got all of the attention, at least from the national crowd.
Yes, it
but
is.
Yeah.
It was a good game.
Yeah, and that's what it sure looked like.
It was a very good game.
Yeah.
It let people know that Penn State is real. Penn State is real, you know.
Well, so is Oregon. I mean, Oregon beat them.
Yeah, but more so that, you know, people, the style of play that Penn State has is not sexy.
It's definitely not sexy. Never has been.
You know,
and it's never been sexy. What are you talking about?
That's like Stanford. Stanford's style of football is not sexy, but if it's effective and you win, why change? So
But that game was 30-24. It was competitive till the end.
Yes, it was. And it was an interception at the end of the game that actually sealed it for
Oregon.
That's
what I thought. And you know, then you had back to your Georgia Alabama game.
Yeah.
And
Alabama was putting a spanking on them for a while.
It looked like, because I was just watching it on the scoreboard, it looked like Alabama was going to maybe kind of run away with it.
Yeah.
Because I was just kind of looking at the scores and then where the ball was at any given time and who had the ball.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess you can say Georgia made it competitive, right?
Yes, they did.
Yeah. Only lost by 3.
Yeah.
But Alabama is going to, with that, it really kind of has a changed the look of the top 15 because, you know, Georgia dropped from, were they 5th, right? I think Georgia was 5.
Yeah, five.
And Georgia dropped to 12th, I think. And Alabama jumps up to number 10.
Yes.
And
we had a Shedeur Sanders slide.
We did.
From 8 to 18.
Yes. Well, you know, and that, we talked about this. I mean, 18 after a loss against an ACC opponent, and then after, you know, two wins over teams that we were supposed to be, although they'd be in huge wins.
Yeah.
And then the upset over Alabama.
Well, you know, I said at the beginning, when you asked me where you think that we should be ranked after that Alabama win, I said, you know, I said no higher than 21.
Yeah.
It came out we were 14. Then we kept climbing with losses ahead of us and things of that nature. In my honest opinion, I think we should have been ranked 14 going into the game against Virginia. That was more of my.
Yeah. Well, thank God we weren't. Then we would have dropped out of the top 25, probably.
Well,
yeah, maybe, who knows, but yeah.
Well, it gave more incentive to Virginia Tech to beat a top 10 team.
Yeah. Good
we
point.
Are three of their top 10 victories.
In their history.
In their history.
Yeah, yeah, right, know, yeah. So they talked about that in the game, I know, yeah. The other team that is not, I guess maybe not surprising everybody, Vanderbilt.
Yes.
You know, with their continued wins, it jumped to 16, and because of that game and the Alabama game, game day is not happening here. But Vandy, you know, really solid.
They've been building a program quietly.
Ole Miss is looking really good too.
Yes, they are.
So what happens if Ole Miss ends up really, I mean, in the playoffs and everything, and Florida jettisons Billy, you think Lane would be primed to want to come to Florida after having such success at Ole Miss? I mean, because they're talking about Lane Kiffin being like the possible successor to Napier. So just, you don't have to give me a real detailed answer now, but I'm just kind of wondering.
That's something to ponder.
It is something. That's, you know, we can ponder about that at another time. But the one thing we want to ponder, I think, right now is...
That war chant
makes my... Oh, just it just makes me kind of... I'm kind of rotating in my chair right now, folks. So we do have, even coming off the loss, our Seminoles have a big game coming up.
Yes, indeed.
Saturday night. It's going to be game day here.
Yes.
We knew that they had announced game day on ESPN last weekend. Everything was... We were all set. We were ready.
Yes.
And then, of course, the loss on Friday. And then... that upset over Georgia and the fact that I've got a friend here that went to Vanderbilt and I think graduated from Vanderbilt, and I told her, I said, man, you guys stole our game day because of your victory. You know, now they're going to Tuscaloosa. But anyway, Saturday, even with that game day here, Saturday is going to be an exciting day in Tallahassee.
Doke at the dark.
Yeah. Yeah,
under the lights,
7:30. I'm ESPN. Guessing that's going to be the prime ESPN game,
yes.
As well it should.
Yes.
Yeah, because I mean, even though you don't, it's not considered game day worthy. Miami,
it's FSU, a rivalry. Game.
It's a rivalry, and yeah, Miami is Miami dropped a third now. They were second. Now they dropped the third.
Well, they were off last week.
Yeah, and that Oregon, that big Oregon victory.
Absolutely.
Is what jumped them to number two. But, it's going to be electric. Love it. Yeah.
Now, me being a realist,
uh-huh.
We beat Miami. I don't want it to catapult us into the top 10.
Mm, it will, though.
I know, but I don't want it to catapult us into the top 10 because, like I said, deservingly, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
I don't think Miami is actually worthy of a top three seed.
Of a two or three?
Yeah. They haven't. They beat Notre Dame, yes. They beat the Gators, yes. They beat USF. And then they beat FAMU. I mean, they beat FAMU. That's
really,
their four victories.
Really, FAMU already? That was okay. But, yeah, so you could say looking at then the records of those two, what you could consider big games. Yeah, Notre Dame actually, I guess now they're 2-2. They had a big win this weekend, but mm-hmm. but Notre Dame is not...
The Notre Dame of old.
Well, unless you work for NBC, then probably they're back, they're national championship bound probably, but yeah. So you make a good point. And watching that Gator game, the Gator defense really
stymied them.
Yes, and so hopefully we can take a few lessons from that and release the dogs on Carson Beck and on their receivers.
Yes,
and you know, let's see what happens.
Yes, but again, not to give more credence to FAMU.
Yeah.
There's been some rumblings from some high-profile people here in Tallahassee.
Oh, there have been.
You know.
I haven't heard those rumblings. Well, I'm not high-profile, so I've got nothing that I can even, you know. But so tell me the rumblings.
There's some people that don't like how the team is being managed, you know. I won't repeat the comments that was made by a local talent here.
Okay, so are you talking about the Alabama A&M halftime dancers?
Yes.
Okay, and some reference to a popular weight gain or weight loss product?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
And so I thought that was very inappropriate.
You did?
Yes.
Okay.
Very inappropriate.
Okay.
Because it takes a lot to get in front of a bunch of fans
mm-hmm.
and perform. I don't care who it is.
Right.
And for them to go out there, and they did an excellent job. They did an excellent job, but to have somebody denigrate and degrade or belittle, it's just not right, and I don't like that.
Okay.
That wasn't...
No, again, your opinion probably is the opinion, I'm guessing, of the majority.
Yes.
Of not just FAMU fans, but just your casual sports person, whether you live in Tallahassee or wherever.
Right.
Yeah.
The president actually came out and supported the halftime, you know, cheerleaders and everything like that. And he said, you know, those comments weren't in line with the university.
Okay, yeah.
So...
Well... I guess maybe a lesson learned or not, but the university has stifled, I guess, any outrage that could have come from that as best they can.
Yes,
and not there's if there is blame to be had, the blame is
square on the one person who said it.
So now there may be other people who may feel that the. In the HBCU world of halftime entertainment, that there has been a history of kind of using dancers or bands as ways to kind of entertain in different ways that and possibly even exploit those women or men who are on the larger size.
Right. Yeah.
So I guess there is always another way to look at it, but I'm not supporting that. I'm just kind of regurgitating some comments that I've heard also. But hopefully there is no scandal or anything else. But
it's just bad comments.
It's even if you're trying to be funny, maybe that's not the place to do it.
That wasn't funny at all.
The time or place to do it.
Right.
Yeah. So
you took a tradition that, you know, is known for HBCUs, the Battle of the Band, the halftime shows, and you kind of put a dark cloud on it.
Well, yeah, and made fun of that as you kind of lost the, by making that comment, you lost where the emphasis and entertainment and enjoyment by the audience was and should have been. So, So what kind of controversy can we have during halftime or pregame or whatever at the Miami game coming up? Because lots of, you know, man, how many pregame fights have there been between FSU and Miami?
Lots,
right?
Lots.
Luckily, there is no, in this stadium, and maybe back in the Orange Bowl, Did they go in and out
opposite
of the stadium?
Yeah.
Was it opposite directions in the Orange Bowl?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's usually where things happen is when they're going in at the same same tunnel. But you know, this could be, you know, they're out there for warm-ups and a kicker, you know, kind of steps back too far to get into either of the other team's space.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah. And you know, during a game, emotions can ride high.
Yeah.
And who knows? But not, man, I don't want. I want a clean game. I want weather to be great, perfect.
Yes.
And there to be few to no penalties, and let's just have smash mouth football.
The crazy thing about it, in watching that FSU game, I thought the flags were going to be flying a lot more than they did because at the beginning it just seems like they were coming really quick, mainly against FSU.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when you look at the total count. Against both teams.
At the end, I tell you, those two turnovers, the first one specifically, I mean, that one batted pass, that was you,
excellent defense.
That was a great play.
That was excellent defense.
Guy had long, you know, got length, he got his arm up, and what a great I mean, he caught the ball. It was just, right. And Tommy was trying to bat that ball away.
He wasn't tall enough.
Yeah, he wasn't tall enough. But I think what was what helped Virginia with their confidence after that was then when we couldn't stop them
running
the ball, and particularly on that final drive there in the first half, mm-hmm. and they came in and tied 21.
Yeah.
And that I can't remember, it was a running back who came in from the FCS.
Yes, I can't remember.
Yeah,
his name.
A walk on and young kid, but that hit that collision between him and Earl Little. If he just needed to wrap up, I think that's what Norvell told him when he walked over the sidelines. Got to wrap up, man.
Got to finish the play.
But that was a heavy collision.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it would have been nice to hear it.
And the thing is, neither one of them fell to the ground.
I know. It's just they kind of bounced back
like two Rams.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so there's a lot of what ifs if they'd done this or done that, but or if this hadn't happened.
That's what game film is for.
Yeah,
and you study the game film and you move forward.
And if Deuce had just had one less bobble in the end zone,
if he would have caught it clean,
it's a different game.
The game would have been over. We went for two.
The game would have been over if we went to two for two
at the end of regulation,
and there in our final,
score.
Yeah, it.
That was a pretty pass, too.
Yeah, it was.
That was a pretty pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You live and learn.
Absolutely.
And to use Castellano's comments, we'll learn from this. It was good for us. We'll do. We'll work on it and do better. And
that's what you need as a leader.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, to his credit, not shying away from anything,
nope.
And he's definitely a leader. He's a Charlie Ward, Jordan Travis kind of leader.
And
although Charlie was quiet, but he was a quiet leader, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like he said, Charlie said, "I was booed before I got in."
That's right. Yeah. So we will. We got a few days to kind of let the watch and the warning of the Hurricanes come up. And let's hope that we can just blow that storm right out of town.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anything else on the FSU side of things coming up with any of the other sports that we are is worthy of?
Women's soccer is still chugging along.
It's always worthy. Women's soccer is always going to be.
Yeah, women's volleyball is doing well, and so we're good.
We are good to go.
Baseball playoffs are starting.
Oh, man. Yes. we'll see. We'll see once we get a little further in. The Cleveland Guardians.
Yes.
I know them as the Indians for so long.
Yes.
They're in and
my Yankees.
Yeah, and I think the Guardians got in. They won that game, bases loaded, and they had a hit pitcher.
Yeah.
And I think that's how they won that game. Yeah.
Yep.
Never know what's going to happen in the world of sports, but you know. That was kind of loud, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
But it's all right.
Should have had that down. They got this rookie running the audio board, folks. So his name is Mullins, and Mullins needs to be taught a little better. Yeah. But anyway, hey, it's been a fun half hour. I don't know, 34 minutes, maybe 40 minutes. I don't care. I don't even watch the clock anymore.
No
use in it. But we're going to be back next week after. An FSU victory. You got any predictions?
34-17
FSU. That's a convincing win. I'm going to say 31-24. No, 31-27.
Okay.
We'll see. We'll see who's closer.
Absolutely.
Okay, and we'll see you next week on Tally Benchwarmers.